Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome again to Life Changing Ministries. Like I said, we thank y'all for coming out. We thank you for getting this word. And we want this word to change your life. Amen? How many of you glad to be here another day? I am, right? Glad to be alive another day to know that God is with us in his presence. So it's another Sunday, Black History Month. And I got something that's going to stir you up. You know, I think last time I talked, we talked about the point of danger of quitting too soon. Amen. And how many of that was a blessing to you? It was a blessing to me. Amen. But at the same time, we want you to know that we are loved here at Life Changing Ministries. The ones that's hearing it on podcasts know that you're loved. We appreciate you for listening in and share with other people so they can hear about the love of God and hear how good God is and what he wants to do in their lives. But today, I'm going to talk about something a little different. Let's pray, inviting the Holy Spirit, inviting his presence. Because I can't do it without God. Father God, we just thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence, Lord. I thank you that it's all of you and none of me. Speak to my mind and speak to my vocal cords, Lord. Let something be said to impact your people, to impact their lives. Let the word go forth this Sunday morning and let your presence be here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Jesus, you're welcome in this place. God, you are welcome in this place. And we just give you all the praise and glory for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to talk about the last song we talked about. God told me to share something with you. The last thing we're going to talk about, what we're going to talk about today, is knowing the names of God. And I'm going to share with you one of the names of God that we're going to talk about is knowing the name of God as the song was just saying, as Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Knowing that God is one that will provide in every situation for you, that he is a provider. He will take care of you in every situation, no matter what it may be. If it's something financially, if it's something, if you may be sick, know that God has the ability to supply that need for you. You have to say with me, God is my what? Supplier. Say it with me, God is my what? Supplier. He can supply everything in my life. But I want you to go to Exodus chapter 3, knowing that God is a provider, knowing that God can never fail you when it comes to anything providing for your life. That's why he's God. That's why he's Jehovah. He has the ability to provide for you in your life. Exodus chapter 3. I want you to see something here. Got to show you in the word. Amen. Let's get excited and turn to this word and check this word out so it can make you grow. Exodus chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 11 on down to 14. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said, Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus said thou shalt of the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. Now, the scripture I want to talk about here for a minute, I am that I am. When Moses said, God, who should I say sent me? He said, say that I am that I am. In situations in your life, and basically God was saying, whoever you need me to be, I am that in your life. In this time, whatever you may God need you to be, you have to know that God is that to you. If God, so he said, I am that I am. So in your life, what is something that you can be needing? I'm going to be covering some things about the names of God, whatever you say, whatever you need in this situation. This particular time, I want to be talking about God, Jehovah Jireh, your provider. How many of you know that God will and always will provide a way of escape for you in anything in your life if you just keep believing what God's word says about you? God can never fail his word. In this situation here, Moses was afraid. He didn't know how to do it in his own strength. He said, how can I go in my own ability when it comes to this? He said, don't be afraid, Moses. He was going to approach Pharaoh, one of the biggest kings of that time. He was in fear in his own ability to go and set the captives free of his people. How many of you know that Moses went in his own, he went with God on him? And I'm not going through all the stories now. You can study it on your own time. And when you've seen the stuff that Moses had, the power of God on him to overcome whatever came his way. When Moses went before Pharaoh, he was afraid. But how many of you know that God was what? With him. God was with him that every plague that when he refused to let his people go, every plague that he said, it came to pass. And you know the story, for church's sake, I'm just showing it up. Every plague that he went through, eventually he let the people go because the last plague that he did, you remember if you study your Bibles, when he said his sons, the last plague that he did, all the plague that he went through, every plague that he went through, when Pharaoh's son died, that's when he let the people go. But what did that say to me? No matter how much the enemy may fight you, God has an answer to every problem, right? God is Jehovah Jireh. He has an answer to every. All the fighting that was going on with Moses, he did not want to release the people. Eventually, he had to let the people go. All the things that he was trying to fight them with. So it could be something, I'm saying this to you, like Jehovah Jireh, your provider, it could be something you could be fighting with, but know if you keep obeying God like Moses kept obeying God, eventually God provided a way of escape for him and he had to let the people go. Well, in this scripture in Exodus, if you look at it and say, hey, no matter what, I will not give up God. I will keep serving him in every aspect. And if you have that mindset to know that God is your Jehovah Jireh, your provider, that he will provide a way of escape for you in every situation. I like here, Moses still in this situation that's in me, he refused to quit. He refused to say, you know what, I'm going to do what God said do. And he kept doing it. And eventually he had to let the people go. So I'm just not focused on the Old Testament. I'm just to give you some samples on the word. I'm going to show you some more scriptures here. So in this scripture here, when he said, I am that I am, what is it that you can be lacking that you need? God is that. If you need lacking, today I'm talking about Jehovah Jireh, your provider. But you, God is whatever you need him to be. He can fit something, tailor fit for you. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. God is that in your life. He has the ability to supply everything he needs you to do. In your life, he is God. Philippians chapter 4, 19, when you have, say amen. It said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I want you to think something in your mind. I want you to realize that God is a supplier and has all the supply that you need in heaven to supply here on earth. Just to break it down, a natural thing, it's just like when you go order something online from Amazon, they have a place, a warehouse, where they have the supply to send you what they need. You have to see your mindset of seeing God as you as being a supplier in your life. He has the supply of what you need. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. So what is something that you may be lacking? Say, God, I thank you for giving me the ability to overcome what it may be. What is something that you may need? See him as a supplier and see him having that supply for you. If it's something emotionally, see him having that supply for you. Seeing him supplying that for you in every situation. What is something you can need? See God having access to that. See you having access to that. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. God has the ability to supply whatever you need, but you have to know it's there to get it. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or shall we be clothed? For after all things do the Gentiles, for your heavenly Father, know that you have need of what? All things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto what? Thee. Seek first, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Now I'm going to read the scripture. Now I'm going to tell you that don't mean you don't plan. You know, some folks used to get deep with me. They say, well, I don't take no thought for tomorrow. I don't plan nothing. You wake up now, I ain't saying you don't plan. But it's saying here as a most that if you take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for therefore, know that God is the one that has the ability to take care of you in every aspect. when they talk about the scripture here, when they talk about the Gentile, they're saying unbelievers. God had, if think about it, when the birds flying around on the earth, they ain't thinking about it, they ain't worried about stuff. I'm not saying don't plan, don't do, but you have to have in your mindset, what is it that I may need and see God as having the supply to take care of it? Whatever it may be, if it's financially, if it's sickness, if it's anything. And sometimes the supply can be you began to lose your faith if you don't continually feed yourself the word of God or what it says about you. Another way to knowing that God is your provider, go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Knowing that God is your supplier. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by what?
Word of God.
So when you hear the word of God, when you at on your own time, when you read the word of God, and when you may be going through something, I'm trying to teach you something, and you have the word of God in you, now you have the ability to overcome what is going on in the world. The reason you know the word is not to quote scriptures. The reason you know the word that when something comes your way in this world, now you have the ability to overcome what comes your way in this world. So if you have the word in you saying of knowing that God shall and will supply, he will provide a way of escape for you every single time. But the reason you're hearing the word and knowing the word, faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by what you hear. Fear comes by what you hear. If you're going through something and you say, God can't supply, God can't do it, you don't know how sick I am, and you start believing more in that, guess what? That's what you start having fear in. You must have faith that God is a supplier. Say it with me. God is a supplier. Say it again. God is a supplier. So when you see that God is a supplier, he has the ability to supply whatever you need. He has it in stock for you. So you got to believe that. See, God is a supplier. He wants to supply for me. I'm going to use some more scriptures. But when you're seeing that, what's something you could be lacking in that, that God has the ability to want to give it to you? Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. God is a supplier. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. It says, if then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? That ask him. Now, I'm going to say something. The humble part of this working, you have to be to the point when you're hurting or wanting something that you're willing to what? Ask God for it. Asking him for the help. He is the supplier. So another one that makes the supply work, if you ask him, he shall give it to you. If you ask things, he will give you. So what is something you could be lacking? You know what? It may not be something financial in some folks' life. Could it be lack of confidence of you going to the next level on what God's telling you to do? That's he. See, the lack of confidence, but you not doing that is holding you back from going to the next level. You may be comfortable for where you at, but another level of supply. Say, God, I'm lacking confidence of going to the next level. He has the supply to give you that confidence to believe that you can do it. How many of you got to see yourself? How many of you know that God has every answer to every problem in this world? How many of you believe that? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Every answer. When you see that God is God, that he is over everything, he's omnipresent, he sees everything what's going on in life, you have to know that he has the answer to every problem in your life on what you may be dealing with. What the devil is afraid of is when a Christian can get to God and hear God's voice. That's the reason why you know the word of God. That's the reason why you go to church where you can get fed the word of God. Because when you can hear God's word, you will find a way out of escape every time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And when you begin to hear the word of God, guess what? Your faith gets built up and you don't see yourself failing in any kind of way. God is a supplier. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He will provide whatever you may do. But you have to be willing to. One of the first things is willing to ask God. Let's say, God, I need help with this here. I'm weak in this area. God, help me. And he can give you the supply to overcome whatever may be dealing in your life. See, sometimes it could be some personal things in your life that you're dealing with that you have to take to God. And somebody that's really wanting to change, they're willing to go to God and confess and tell God what the problem is. When you can come to God and confess that. See, go to 1 John 1:9. When you can go to God and confess to God what you need, you are letting him know you need him to be your supplier. It says, he that saith, 1 John 1:9, that's what I want. If you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from what? All on what? Righteousness. Now, let me ask you this. That's confessing. Now, why are we talking about something? Because part of God telling about righteousness, about when it comes to him supplying, is you have to be willing to admit anything that's in your life that may be affecting you hearing God's voice. Go to Romans 10. I'm going to show you a difference between something. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. There's a difference between you coming into the kingdom and when you get into the kingdom. Now, here's the difference. See, when we get born again, notice something. It does not require us to confess every sin. It requires us to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall be and believe in thy heart, that we're something we're talking about today, that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. So this scripture here is saying if you, when you're coming into the kingdom, you must not, notice it's not requiring you to confess every sin. It's requiring you, if thou confess with thy mouth that the Lord is Jesus, that the Lord is Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. What happens right then? You're what? Say it with me. You're what? Saved. You're a Christian. You're coming to the kingdom. But what I'm seeing with what God showed the difference is what I'm seeing the difference. Once you get into the kingdom, now you have access to Jehovah Jireh. You got access to Jehovah Rapha. You got access to Jehovah, all those. But if it's something in your life that can be affecting your life, you must confess it. Now, go back to 1 John 1:9. Romans 10 is getting you into the kingdom. When you're in the kingdom, now you must have, understand you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anything you can do can hinder that relationship. You want to get rid of it. Now, Romans 10 got you into the kingdom. Once you're in the kingdom and you are born again believer, you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is in your heart. It did not require you to confess every sin that you did it? It just confessed Christ because you couldn't do all of it. You couldn't confess all that. Now you're a born again believer. But I like this scripture here. 1 John 1:9 now. It's the born-again believer. It's for the Christian. So it says, now once you are a Christian and you do anything contrary to what the word says and you make a mistake, which you will, now you, if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of our sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So think about this. It's like when you get saved and get born again, it's like you got on all white. How many of them wore all white before I have? And when you get on all white, you don't want to get it dirty, do you? You want to keep it clean as possible. Well, the same thing is if you get anything on that white, when you come into the kingdom, now you're purity, you're white. If you get anything on that, now you must cleanse it off by asking God to forgive you in your heart and asking him and saying it with your mouth. That's why you search yourself to say, God, is it something that I could be doing that's hindering me from hearing God? Like some of you that talked about last Sunday was the repentance and conversion. But he said that when you repent, there's a refreshing that comes to God that you hear God. How many of you want to, as you hear on this earth, what's the most powerful thing that we can do is be able to hear God's voice and speak to us, knowing that he can tell us and show us things, how to make it out of every situation in our lives. And I'm going to show you more scriptures. But that is one of the parts of it. Is it something that you think is hidden? There's nothing hidden in God. God knows everything. There's no such thing when people say you got privacy. Maybe folks don't know about it, but guess what? God knows, the devil knows, and you know. So you can't run from that. It's always an audience watching. God see, God know everything, the devil know, and you know. So you got to make a decision. Is there something in my life? Because what God is telling me, a person that has a pure heart before God, they will see God. We saw that. We read it in Beatitude this morning. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What you mean? They shall see the manifestation of God working in their lives no matter what. Everyone I see that has a pure heart before God, and when they go through something, they may go through something. He didn't say you wouldn't go through something, but if your heart is pure with God and you choose to say, whatever, I'm dealing with God, and confess it to God, guess what? That pure-hearted person we read in Beatitude this morning, they shall what? See what? God. They will see God come through in that situation. Pure-hearted person. See, if you got stuff and you think, well, I ain't got to confess it, it's hidden. God, no. A person with a pure heart is willing to confess it to God. Like when you're in a relationship with somebody, if you're a good-hearted person, if you do wrong, you'll tell that person you've done something contrary, because if you hide it, eventually it's going to come up and it's going to ruin the relationship. You have to say, God, I want a pure heart with you, that I have a relationship with you, that when you do that now, that's God is looking now to want to supply every need. He want to do it for everybody. But guess what? I say this. God is not responsible for everybody. He's responsible for the ones that come into the kingdom. That makes sense? He's responsible for the ones that come into the kingdom. So if you're not in the kingdom, if you're not connected to God, he's not responsible for you. Now, you might get some prayers from your ancestors and your mom, and he shows grace and shows mercy, all of that. But once you're in his kingdom, that's when he is responsible for you. Now, go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. All right, when you're in the kingdom, you want to stay right before God. If you make a mistake, you ask God to forgive you. Don't get caught up in this stuff. Well, I ain't got to ask for forgiveness. God loved me. Yeah, he still loves you, but you still need to ask for forgiveness. They're like many relationships. Somebody do something to hurt somebody, and they don't want to ask for forgiveness. Go to God and ask him to forgive you so that refreshing can be there for you, so you can have a stronger relationship with God. Luke chapter 12, verse 24. It said, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to the stature to a cubit? So in other words, if God can take care of the birds that go on in the world, see God taking care of you. And I say this, a lot of times folks read that like poverty. I'm a Christian. I don't believe that God wants you broke, down and broken and disgusted and sad and mealy mouth, ain't got nothing. I don't believe God wants you like that. But you got to see at a point that in this area, if God is supplying for them, the birds of the air, see God supplying for you. See God making a way out of escape for you. I'll take to another level in a minute. But when you see God, when you see your way, see God as providing a way. Most of us got parents. When you're around your parents and when you have parents, parents take care of their children to make sure they're okay. Change the mindset to see God in that same realm that he wants to take care of you. Now, I'm going to take it to another level of showing you something. Go to Romans chapter 5. I'm showing you, I'm going to Jehovah Jireh, but I'm showing you about how much God loves you that he wants to provide for you. Go to Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience experience. I'm going to break that down. And tribulation worketh patience. Patience is constantly staying the same and keep believing God no matter what. That's what patience is. Patience is working. Tribulation worketh patience. That means you could be working on something and don't see it happening right yet. Some of y'all beginning of the year, we wrote our list down and we're seeing stuff. But patience is constantly staying the same no matter what. That's patience. And patience experience and experience hope. How are those combined together? And patience constantly staying the same. Constantly keep doing what God say do. It said patience, and then that brings experience. How does it bring experience? Because you've seen God do it for you before. So the experience says, well, I've seen God do it before, so I'm going to have patience and experience. That together brings me what? Hope to see that God can do it. Make sense? So patience saying, God, I'm going to stay consistent the same. I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep staying in your word. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing God. And if I make a mistake, I'm going to confess it and get right back with God and keep lining up. He said, but that there, if you're like that, consistent, patience, experience, it's going to bring you hope. Hope is, I know with God on my side, he's going to supply my need. Well, I'm believing God for a new career. Okay, if you could do everything that God says do, the patience, the experience, the hope, all three combined, you will get answers. I'm going to keep reading the scripture here. And hope maketh what? Not ashamed. What does that mean? Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. How is that not ashamed? It will come to pass, because God won't make it. It won't make you ashamed. That's the hope. It will come to pass. God won't make it ashamed. Some people say, you just don't know. I'm believing God for a house. It took me forever to get it. Well, keep believing God. Get your credit right. Keep believing the money. Set it aside to get what you got to do. Don't stop. Don't stop the patience. And don't stop to keep doing it. And then the hope is when the manifestation comes. But you have to be someone that's consistent. A disciple is someone that is disciplined to stay consistent. When everybody else stops, you have to have that patience. Amen. That experience. That hope. It said, the hope maketh not ashamed. Verse 5. Because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. I want you to think about this. I want you to think and know and see yourself that God wants me successful, happy, whole, and well. We talked about some Bible. We talked about Bible study last Wednesday. We talked about how God wants you healed. That's another part. But notice, I want you to see yourself that God wants you healed, whole, well, looking good, smiling, successful, happy. Christians should be some of the most happiest people to be around. Because God wants us successful, whole, well. So he said he won't bring us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's going into righteousness. But I'm going to say this. When Christ died for us and we accept him, what now? Do we have an extra strength that everybody else don't have? Yeah. By you accepting Christ in your life, now you have an extra strength that everybody else don't have. Christ being on your side, being with you, you have an extra strength. The ungodly, if you don't know God, you may have natural strength. You may have strength in knowing things. But if you don't have God in your life, you're missing a key component of strength, which is spiritual strength that only comes from God. You must have that strength that comes from God. You must make that sacrifice to get to know God for yourself. Verse 8 says, but God commanded his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. So now no longer you're labeled as a sinner. You're labeled as a righteous person in the spirit. I want you to think about something. That's why I can't make you do it. I'm going to give you some more scripture. If you knew how powerful you were spiritually, if you knew how powerful you was spiritually, you would take more time and read the word. You would get up and pray. You would pray in the spirit. You'll spend time with more God. I invite folks out of church all the time. Can't make them come. But if you knew who you were spiritually and how much power you had spiritually, you would take more time and spend time with God. I remember something I like to read books. And I remember when I first got rededicated and I read a book called He Came to Set the Captives Free. And in this book, it was about a lady who once, she got born again, but she once was a servant of Satan. And she served Satan, and she was the bride of Satan and all this stuff. And then what got her is that when she would come out, I don't know all the stuff, she would do things to hurt other Christians, she thought. And she went to go try to do something to hurt these other Christians. And when she went to their home in spirit, she could not affect them. Around their house was angels hand connected 10 feet tall, and then when they tried to hurt the person, they couldn't hurt them. And she inside, the man and the wife was praying, and then she realized that she was not more powerful than a Christian, that they had more power. You have to tap into the power that's in you. But if you refuse to tap into the power, Jesus dying on the cross, when he said it is finished, he gave you all of the power that's there for you. Folks give up on life because they stop believing that Jesus can provide. They give up hope because they think that he can't. They think that it's over. You must continually have your hope in Christ. You must have your faith in him that he can supply and whatever needs he needs you to supply him. But in that, just to talk about that story, and what was amazing to that woman, she thought she had all the power when she was serving the enemy. And when she realized the enemy did not have as much power as God has, when she went to go try to hurt those people, it's the angels was around there protecting the house. And when she went to try to hurt them spiritually, it said the angel looked down and said, "Why don't you serve the Lord thy God, for he is holy?" And she said, this person is more powerful than what I'm serving. And she began to want to know more about God. Your life as a Christian is daily being read by all people. This time is going on a lot right now. Strengthen yourself in God. Strengthen yourself in his word. Strengthen yourself in prayer. We're in rough times right now. We even see a place where you got Texas that's normally a desert place freezing. That's not normal. So I say to folks, are you seeking to get to know God? Somebody says, hey, you think God coming back? I say, I don't know if he is. He coming back. If not, I'm still going to keep serving him and doing what I'm supposed to do in this world. But you have to make a decision. Am I knowing God as my provider? Go to Luke chapter 21. Verse 33. Luke chapter 21. There is no greater power than God's power. I don't care. Luke chapter 21, verse 33. It says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." My word shall not pass away. His word shall not pass away. His word shall never return void. His word shall not pass away. How many of you, even when it's time to physically leave here, his word still works. But on this earth, you have to see yourself as God's word working in your life. If you knew something, that you are a spiritual person, you do have a physical body, you have a soul, but you are a spirit. The more you get to feed your spirit and grow in God, the stronger you'll be in life, period. A weak spirit, I said it before, is a weak, you get weaker and you don't understand. There's a light that comes in you. There's a light that comes in your spirit. And you can be around other folks and they can say, "What is it about you that I don't understand?" The more you spend time in the presence of God, the stronger you become. Not to say be unbalanced, that you don't do things you're supposed to do, but you have to see yourself as a stronger vessel. You got to see yourself as a soldier in Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 14. I want you to see something here that Jesus did, our ultimate example. That he was a supplier. He had a compassion to want to know and take care of people that he was connected to. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed then to ship into the deserted part. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on the foot of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And look at this right here. And was moved with what? Compassion. And was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past, and the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said to them, "They need not to depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded a multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. You know what was amazing to me that, not a lot of folks, you know what was amazing to me with that was, there is two things which Jesus was concerned about, if you read the scriptures. First of all, he was seeing them sick and he was laying hands on them and healing the sick. But it said, if you read the scriptures, it was over more than 5,000 people there. But guess what? Jesus was also concerned about them being what? Hungry. The fact that they wanted, needed something to eat, he said, man, we got to let them go. He said, no, Jesus, I tell you what, get them fish, bring them over here, bring them to me, I'll pray over them, and we'll feed everybody. Guess what? And he fed everybody. And what was amazing to me about that, when he fed everybody and passed it around, the baskets never ran empty. The disciples couldn't figure out. They said, man, how come these baskets? Well, I know it ain't but 2 feet. Every time they pass it over, it'll duplicate. It fed over 5,000 people. Jesus was concerned about their spirit and getting them well, but also he was concerned about them what? Their eating. He was concerned about, as a supplier, Jehovah Jireh, he said, I will supply that for them too. I will heal them, make them better, and I also will feed them. So you got to see God that he took care of the spiritual side and he took care of the physical side. So when Jesus is our ultimate example, he had enough compassion to take care of them sickly and he wanted them to eat. He was concerned about all of that. Jesus, when you think about Jesus, he's such a balanced person that I'm amazed with him because he's the most powerful person here on earth. He was amazed. I was amazed with that. That compassion. Hey, I'm going to get y'all healed. I'm going to tell you about heaven. He said, man, Jesus, these folks hungry. Get them 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. Bring them here. And y'all want to know about it. A lot of times we say our blessing before we eat our food on Sundays. Or through the week, I do it too. We say a quick blessing. Blessing is saying, thank you, Lord God, for what you gave me. And thank you for multiplying it so I can get more and more. That's where you get a blessing from. Right here, when Jesus said that, that's where blessings come from when we say a quick blessing. See, if you see in every aspect that Jesus, God, wants to be a supplier in your life, he wanted to supply them for the sick and take care of that. Then he wanted to supply also for the physical, what it may be. And that just ain't all the time food. It could be something you're working on. You're trying to improve yourself. You're trying to go back to school. You're trying to get some certificates. You're trying to get in better shape. You're trying to lose weight and all that type of stuff. He is a supplier in every situation. And when you start seeing that, I was so impressed with that, that Jesus said, hey, I want to take care of that for you as well. What is it something that you can be dealing with in your life and you don't think that God has the ability to do it? Yeah, I remember the story. It's going to be much longer. Remember the story when Abraham, he had Isaac. Remember the story? And Abraham, and Jesus, God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham said, no, that can't be God. I can't sacrifice Isaac. No, he said, I want you to sacrifice your son. And as Abraham was taking his son up to be sacrificed, Isaac, to sacrifice Isaac, what did God do for Abraham? He provided a ram in the wood, bush. Because with that, it looked like, when it came to it, it looks like he provided a ram in the bush. But I'm going to say with you, God sometimes will tell you things you need to do in order for you to go to the next level. What is something he can tell you to do? He will provide a way of escape for you if you just believe that he can do it. He is one that is a provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. Say it with me. God is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. So there's nothing that God cannot provide in your life. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. Think about the scripture here. So when you take Jesus, not to break him down to, as you seeing him as a person that was moved with compassion. In every, he was moved with compassion. I want you to renew your mind. Go to Romans 12 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I want you to renew your mind on the fact on what Jesus is and what he wants to do in your life. When you see him as a person that wants to get involved with you and your life, you look at it in a different aspect. And it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against what? Thy word have I hid in my heart. How is the word hid in your heart? The word is hid in your heart when you've been meditating on it. When you've been listening to it and you've been putting it in your heart. But the sin against God that God showed me here is the other sin that don't, not just fornication, lying and cheating and doing wrong things like that externally, but the sin against thee is not believing completely that God can supply. Not believing completely that God really loves you. The sin, so the way you get that nature out of you, you continually feeding yourself what God's word says about you constantly. He is a supplier. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. Can you imagine how Abraham had to feel when he was taking his son up to that place? Knew he had heard God and was taking his son up to that place. And God, and he was obeying God, and God provided a way of escape for him out of his obedience to God. Amen? And what I want you to see is, when you see God as a provider, when you see him in your life doing things like never been done before, have that patience to keep going, to keep pushing. He is the one that is the supplier. He is the one that can give you anything in life. I said, and I'm going to show you this one, and I'm going to pray over you because I got about a few more minutes, but I'm going to shut down a little early. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. It says, meditate on the word day and night. Therefore, it shall make your way prosperous, and you will have what? Good success in life. Meditate on the word day and night. Therefore, it shall make your way prosperous, and you will have good success in life. Meditate on the word day and night. So if the word is in you, if you meditate on the word, it says you will have good success and it will make your way what? Prosperous. If you have good success is God's success. If you meditate on the word day and night, therefore you will have good success and it will make your way prosperous. But I told you something about it, we said it on Wednesday. A prosperous soul is seeing itself successful no matter what hits them or no matter what comes their way. It says, meditate on the word day and night, therefore it shall make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Say with me, I will have what? Good success. Good success is improved success. Good success is seeing God come through in every situation. That is what good success is. So say that with me. Say, Father God, I thank you. I know that you are my provider, that you will never let me down. You are my source. You are my king. And I thank you, Lord, that you are in my life. I want you to renew your mind to the fact that Jesus really cares about you. He really loves you. Verse 1-2, it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when you can say a renewed mind, how many of y'all could see in your mind that God is a supplier? See the supply there. What are you lacking? He's a supplier. Whatever you're lacking, he can supply it. You have access to all of it. You have to see yourself that God has got me. He can protect. He got every answer, every problem. He can show me what it is. And when you see him as that, now he becomes, remember earlier Exodus, I am that. I am what? I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And that patience that works in you to say, wait a minute, God did it for this, he'll do it for me again. God going to keep doing it. And that gives you hope to keep going on in God. Faith without works is dead. So when you have faith combined with the works that God can do it, you start renewing in your mind, I want you to take God, not bring him down to belittle him. See him as Jesus, as someone who wants to have a relationship with you. Does that make sense? A relationship. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you have to take time to read this. Get in it. Understand who Jesus is. Jesus is someone, he comes in contact with you. Your life should improve and get better. I didn't say you wouldn't go through stuff. He said, trial and tribulation come, but be ye of good cheer. I have overcome the troubles of the world. Troubles will come, but with Christ in you, he will show you a way of supply of everything. if we get ready to close, go to Psalm 119. I don't write that one down. Psalm 119, verse 11.